Five, four, three, two, one, fire!
You are listening to StMichaelsPod.com. We have taken over control of your iPod or other MP3 listening device. Resistance is futile at this point. God's message will not self-destruct, whether you choose to accept his mission or not. At this time, we recommend that you relax, let go, and let God.
Welcome back to StMichaelsPod.com. I'm your host, Mike Barone. And today I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about the Terry Schindler Schiavo case. If you're not familiar with Terry and her situation, please do check her out at www.terrysfight.org. And Terry's T-E-R-R-I. So terrysfight.org. And get yourself familiarized with what's going on here. Really a pretty tragic situation. For a young lady who's in a dire situation where a court is basically ordering the removal of the feeding and hydrating tube that's keeping her alive. As you know, the church teaches that a person does not have to have extraordinary means to be kept alive. In other words, if they're in a situation medically where they're not going to be able to recover, the church does not require that you keep a body alive when the person just will not ever be back with you. But in Terry's case, the situation is much different. In those cases where the church talks about extraordinary means, basically it's saying you don't have to have a person that's completely brain dead on a respirator and everything else, just keeping their body alive. But in Terry's case, she's definitely not brain dead. And if you want some more evidence to that case, please do check out their site there with terrysfight.org. And you'll be able to see all sorts of things that show that Terry's not brain dead and she's not in what they call a persistive vegetative state, which really is an important term here because that's what the court is using to try to take the hydrating and feeding tube out. There's all sorts of sad complications that deal with Terry's husband and the situation that he finds himself in, and his claims that she did not want to be kept alive under these situations. But there are some kind of shady situations there as well, as far as the exact way that Terry got into this state of being that she's in right now. Anyway, please do what you can. As far as hopefully a Catholic, Christian, and if not that, then just as a person that would be interested in the life of others, do everything you can to help Terry stay alive. Right now, there's a court order that says March 18th, the feeding tube and hydration tube is to be removed, and that would definitely result in the death of Terry in a pretty excruciating form of torturous death, so please do what you can. There's letters that can be written, there are petitions that can be signed, and there's all sorts of legislative action going on. Even Governor Jeb Bush at one point was involved in trying to stop the removal of this tube, but for right now, things are looking a little bit grim. Of course, we always trust in the Lord, and we always trust that He is in control and will do what we can on this side of the kingdom to try to ensure that we protect life from conception to the grave. Also, just if you wanted to hear a few things about it, I just thought I'd read a few things off their website here, but I think it's important to kind of answer some of these questions, and I'm sure you'd have a chance to see them yourself if you go to the site, but sometimes people learn orally. It's easier to hear something than it is to actually go and look it up and read it, so I thought I would just read some of these to you. This is titled Most Common Questions and Answers, and the first question is, if Terry hasn't recovered after all these years of therapy, why not let her go? In other words, why not just stop with all feeding and any kind of machines that are keeping her alive. And their answer to this is, Terry has not had meaningful therapy since 1991, but many creditable physicians say she can benefit from it. In other words, one of the issues is whether or not Terry can swallow. If she can swallow, then she could basically be fed by a caretaker and would not need the hydration tube and the feeding tube. But the therapy she needs to relearn how to swallow again is being denied to her. And that's just one of the kind of sad consequences of the situation right now, that her husband, Michael Schiavo, has all authority over her as far as she is his ward, basically. And so the court has determined that he can have all the say in this. And he's not willing to allow the doctors to give her this therapy that may help her learn how to swallow again and such. Also, just for common knowledge, her parents are very willing to take over all care and feeding and everything for Terry. All they're asking is that that her life be spared, that they would give her to them, that the courts would just give Terry back to her parents and let them take care of her and all the other good people and volunteers that have volunteered to help keep her alive. So really all Michael Schiavo has to do is kind of sign off on it, but he is not interested in doing that because he claims that she had some sort of will in place, that she had told him that she would not like to be kept alive if she was in this sort of situation. One question that comes up that relates to, why can't Carrie just divorce? Why can't Terry just divorce? Terry's husband and guardian speaks for her, so she can't divorce without his permission. Another question, does Terry have an advance directive or any wishes about her health care? Terry never signed any directive or living will, and there's no evidence that she foresaw her present situation. So it's just word of mouth kind of thing with her husband. Another question, why do Terry's family fight to keep her alive? Shouldn't they let her husband decide? Well, the answer here was, Terry's husband has started another family and probably gone on with his life. Terry's family want to provide her therapy and a safe home. Question, is Terry receiving life support? The answer here is not in the traditional sense. Terry only receives food and fluids via a simple tube. And the thing here is that the church talks about the very minimum is food and hydration, which is what they're talking about in this particular tube here. She's not on a ventilator, and there's not things like that keeping her alive. She's not in a coma. She is awake, and her eyes are open, and she does seem to respond to many different types of stimulation. So please do go to their site there again at terriesfight.org, and you'll be able to see some of that for yourself. Another question, isn't removing her tube a natural and dignified way to die? The answer here is no. Dehydration and starvation cause horrific effects and are anything but peaceful. And they do have a further description of that on the site there, but it's pretty graphic, and I think if you'd like to know more about that, you could go to their site there. Some of the most common misconceptions about Terry's situation, and this is again on their site here, they've got Terry versus, or Terry is in a persistent vegetative state, and then they have a definition here of the persistent vegetative state in Florida according to statute 765.101, just to get legal. And it defines it as, persistent vegetative state means a permanent and irreversible condition of unconsciousness in which there is A, the absence of voluntary action or cognitive behavior of any kind, and B, an inability to communicate or interact purposefully with the environment. And then they answer this question here about her being in the state, or possibly being in the state. They have said, Terry's behavior does not meet the medical or statutory definition of persistent vegetative state. Terry responds to stimuli, tries to communicate verbally, follows limited commands, laughs or cries in interaction with loved ones, physically distances herself from irritating or painful stimulation, and watches loved ones as they move around her. None of these behaviors are simple reflexes and are, instead, voluntary and cognitive. Though Terry has limitations, she does interact purposefully with her environment. So basically, they're taking apart the idea of her being in a persistent vegetative state here in these answers and saying, look, you know, and if you get a chance to go to the site and you can take a look at some of the video of her responding to her mother, responding to her father, responding to tracking like a balloon, they'll have a balloon in the room, and she brightens up at that, and brightens up at the sound of her parents' voice. It makes guttural-type noises and such. So really, it's well worth looking into. She's definitely not the traditional thing that you'd think in your mind of just this person laying there with their eyes closed, absolutely, you know, lifeless and motionless, except for some the sound of machines and things pumping and whirling in the background. That is not the case with this woman. Then they have another myth here that they're dispelling. It says, myth, Terry does not need rehabilitation. Rights of the person determined to be incapacitated. And it says here, under the Florida statute, again, a different statute, a person who has been determined to be incapacitated retains the right to receive necessary services and rehabilitation. This is a retained right that a guardian cannot take away. Additionally, it does not make exception for persistent vegetative state patients. Terry has illegally been denied rehabilitation, as many nurses have sworn in affidavits. In other words, some of her caretakers are saying, look, she's not in this persistent vegetative state, and she has this right under Florida Statute 744.3215 not to have this stuff withheld from her. She should be able to have the therapy. She should be able to be rehabilitated in as far as she can possibly go in this life, yet she's being denied this by her husband's persistent desire to remove this food and hydration tube. Okay, another myth. Removal of the food was both legal and court-ordered. The fact is the courts had only allowed removal of Terry's feeding tube, not regular food and water. Terry's husband illegally ordered this. The law only allows the removal of life-prolonging procedures, not regular food and water. Okay, under Florida Statute 765.309, mercy killing or euthanasia not authorized, suicide distinguished. It says, nothing in this chapter shall be construed to condone, authorize, or approve mercy killing or euthanasia, or to permit any affirmative or deliberate act or omission to end life other than to permit the natural process of dying. So in other words, Florida's not saying, okay, great, go ahead with mercy killing and euthanasia. Florida's law says that exactly the opposite to that. Okay, myth. Many doctors have said that there's no hope for her. The fact is, Dr. Victor Gambone testified that he visits Terry 3 times a year. His visits last for approximately 10 minutes. He also testified after viewing the court videotapes at Terry's recent trial that he was surprised to see Terry's level of awareness. The doctor is part of a team handpicked by her husband, Michael Schiavo, shortly before he filed to have Terry's feeding tube removed. Contrary to Schiavo's team, 14 independent medical professionals, 6 of them neurologists, have given either statements or testified that Terry is not in a persistent vegetative state. And again, we keep going back to this term, persistent vegetative state, because that's what so much of this hinges on. And that would be, think of the traditional situation where a person is just laying lifeless in bed with their eyes closed and and no response at all to any kind of stimulation and just the whirl and beep and buzz of machinery in the background. It says here, additionally, there has never been any medical dispute of Terry's ability to swallow. Even with this compelling evidence, Terry's husband, Michael Schiavo, has denied any form of therapy for her for over 10 years. So in other words, it's quite possible that she could swallow or that she would be able to be taught to swallow again very quickly. But because Michael Schiavo has denied this therapy for her for over 10 years, that can't be quite determined yet. But it doesn't mean that there's ever been a proof that says she can't swallow either. Anyway, let's go on here. The next myth is this is just a family battle over money. It says, fact, in 1992, Terry was awarded nearly $1 million by a malpractice jury and an out-of-court malpractice settlement, which was designated for future medical expenses. In other words, the money's been set aside from this court situation to take care of these future medical expenses to keep her alive and to give her this therapy and all these different kinds of things. Okay, it goes on here. Of these funds, less than $50,000 remains today. The financial records revealing how Terry's medical fund money is managed are sealed from inspection. In other words, we can't know. The courts and the attorneys can only know that. Court records, however, show that Judge Greer, and Judge Greer is the judge in this case who has approved removing her feeding tube on March 18th this year, 2005. It says here, court records, however, show that Judge Greer has approved the spending down of Terry's medical fund on Schiavo's attorney fees though it was expressly awarded to Terry for her medical care. In other words, Michael Schiavo is using the same money that was set aside for her medical care, for Terry's medical care, to pay for his lawyers. Schiavo's primary attorney, George Filos, has received upwards of $400,000 since Schiavo hired him. This same attorney, at the expense of Terry's medical fund, publicly likened Terry to a houseplant and has used Terry's case on national television to promote his newly published book. So it sounds like there's some conflict of interest here on the part of Michael Schiavo's attorney, and he certainly, if anyone's making money off Terry and her sad situation here, it would be him. Okay, there's another myth here that says Michael Schiavo volunteered to donate the balance of the inheritance to charity. Fact, in October 1998, Schiavo's attorney proposed that if Terry's parents would agree to her death by starvation, Schiavo would donate his inheritance to charity. The proposal came after a court-appointed guardian, ad litem, whatever that is, I'm not sure, probably some sort of writing from the court or mandate from the court in some kind, after this thing was cited Schiavo's conflict of interest since he stood to inherit the balance of Terry's medical fund upon her death. This one and only offer stated, if the proposal is not fully accepted within 10 days, it shall automatically be withdrawn. Naturally, Terry's parents immediately rejected the offer. So this offer was supposedly made by Michael Schiavo to donate the rest of the money that had been set aside for her medical situations, for Terry's medical situations, to charity. But it was given 10 days, and of course, Terry's parents rejected that. And they had every right to and should have, because if you think about it, the money set aside for her medical rehabilitation, and that hadn't even been tried yet. So it really sounds like just some sad, sad situations here between Michael and Terry Schiavo, and then, of course, Terry's family, the Schindlers. The next myth here is Terry's medical trust fund has been used to care for her. It's a myth, they said. The fact, they're claiming, is the following expenditures have been paid directly from Terry's medical trust fund with the approval of Judge Greer. And it has a summary of expenses paid from Terry's $1.2 million medical trust fund that was jury awarded in 1992. And then it goes through here and it lists $10,000 for an attorney, Gwyneth Stanley, $65,607 for Deborah Bushnell, $7,000 for Steve Nielsen, another attorney, $1,500 for Parkerek, which apparently is another attorney, Richard Peirce, another attorney, has benefited $4,511 off this, and attorney George Filos, of course, who is the main attorney for Michael Schiavo, has benefited, it says here, $397,249.99. The First Union South Trust Bank, for some reason, has been paid $55,000, and Michael Schiavo has been paid $10,929.95. The total of this all coming to $545,852.34. So this is just some of the information that's available on their site. And I think it's important that everybody that gets a chance to be involved with this does become involved with it. Write to Governor Bush, Jeb Bush. Write to your state representatives, no matter what state you're from. Write to the state representatives and congressmen and senators, obviously, in Florida. And anywhere, any place, any way we can get involved with this, let's try to, because it is incumbent on us as Catholics to not withhold from a person the very basics of life, which are food and hydration, or in other words, water. So that is the situation it's come down to for Terry, that again, there's so many things that could possibly be done for her if they allowed her to have the medical attention and the rehabilitation that she deserves. So let's not just be fooled by the newspapers and the television reports here, which basically favor Michael Schiavo. And in our pro-death culture, in our pro-death society, the culture of death, as the Holy Father talks about it, too many people are ready to rush into this euthanasia idea and just pulling the plug. We really need to take a look at that as Catholics. We need to be praying and asking God for mercy in this situation, asking that God would give us justice for Terry, that she would be allowed to live and allowed to rehabilitate as much as possible for her quality of life in this life, and to hand her back over to the people who do love her and want to take care of her. And they will handle all of the medical bills and all of the love and all the care that's necessary at this point. We're just trying to keep her alive, just trying to keep her out of the clutches of death and the pro-death mentality, the pro-death society, and the culture of death that this country's gotten into. It's sad when a court, you know, can step in and order that a person on hearsay, basically, be allowed to die an excruciating death of starvation and dehydration when there are so many loving, caring people around her who would be willing to take over and make sure that that didn't happen for her. I need to state here, just for legal purposes, that all of the information that I'm pulling here on this particular podcast and that I'm putting out there are coming from the website www.terrysfight.org, which has been set up to help Terry for the situation. So if there's any legal implications or anything like that, I need to make sure that I root back to those, because otherwise this would just be my opinion, and have to be careful for legal purposes that I'm not saying anything that's incorrect. So it's my opinion, my understanding from what I've read from these two sites, that these are the case. This is the case that I'm presenting to you. So be praying that this case goes the right way, and that Judge Greer allows Terry to be given back to her parents, and that the feeding tube and the hydration tube is not removed from her. And let's just all really pray together that this goes the right way, because our society is on the edge, it's on the brink in a lot of ways with the pro-life movement. A lot of times we do focus on the mother and the child in a pregnancy, crisis pregnancy situation, or a abortion mill situation, and sometimes we miss the very obvious things that God's asking us to do here. So this is definitely one of those situations where if you can step in peacefully, nonviolently, if you can step in legally, if you can give your legal advice to it, if you have time that you can donate to putting up flyers and posters at your local parish, getting the word out about this woman and her situation, do everything you can to try to get her case before as many people as possible, and try to go to her site there at terrysfight.org, www.terrysfight.org, and get as much information about her case as possible so that you can speak intelligently to people about it. Because I think one of the biggest problems is the misperception here, and that she's in this persistent vegetative state, which so many people have clearly proven that she's not. So let's do what we can, and we hope to talk to you again a little bit further about this on stmichaelspod.com. In the meantime, keep praying. God love you, and thank you for anything you can do in this situation. This is Mike Barone, your host. We'll talk to you again soon. God bless. Bye-bye.